accompanying it was the entity known as me. I run, therefore I am. In 1982, having sold his jazz bar to devote himself to writing, Murakami began running to keep fit. A year later, he completed a solo course from Athens to Marathon, and now, after dozens of such races, he reflects upon the influence the sport has had on his life and his writing. Equal parts travelogue, training log, and reminiscence, this revealing memoir covers his four-month preparation for the 2005 New York City Marathon, and settings ranging from Tokyo's Jingyugaian Gardens, where he once shared the course with an Olympian, to the Charles River in Boston. So if you didn't know, today we are discussing What I Talk About When I Talk About Running by Haruki Murakami. So Amy actually picked the book out for us as we wanted to read something that would kind of encompass our January theme of New Year, New Me. So Amy, why did you pick the book?
So I think like a lot of us go into January with a lot of resolutions and like, I'm going to get really fit this year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hit this goal of exercise or of health, and I'm going to peak and I'm going to be the best person I've ever been, which is usually completely unrealistic. And I did the same. I said in January, I'm going to run every day, and I've run three times in January so far. But you know, we move. So I really wanted to read this book. I've wanted to read this book for a while because I've been running on and off for 10 years, not well. And when I say not well, I don't mean it in terms of Murakami saying he doesn't run well and he's running 156 miles a month. I'd recently read another book about running that was very different, and I really want to get into running this year. And I think this is the perfect kind of look at dedication and how the Murakami focuses on long distance running, how those kind of ideas and the thoughts that come with long distance running, how that can mirror in our everyday life, not to just improve our health and to improve this and the other, but just to improve our focus as people and how do we become the best person that we can be this year without it being a ridiculous expectation of running so many days of a month or a year or whatever. So yeah, that's why I really wanted to read this book, and I'm glad you wanted to read it as well.
I did. It sounded really, really interesting. Unlike Amy, I'm fairly new to the running game. I am semi-regular. I probably run on average three times a week on a good week and once a fortnight on a bad week. Consistency is not something that I can attest to being one of my strengths. Crazily enough, and I don't know if, you know, when you watch a film and you think, oh, I'm going to make my whole personality this main character that I've now fallen in love with. After starting this book, I went on a run and I was like, I'm just going to run 2.5K, right? So it's just once around this track near me. And I did the whole thing only stopping twice. I've never done that before. And I was like, I Murakami? Will I be going to Athens in this year?
I think when we both started it, we were both so frustrated with the way that he talks about, oh, I'm quite a mediocre runner, I'm only running this much in a while.
Yeah.
But as you get into the book, and especially when you get later on when he talks about the ultramarathon, it really settles in that it's like, he's not saying it as a brag. Like, he's never saying anything as a brag. It's more as just, This is how I feel towards this thing that I'm doing. The way that I feel that I am a very mediocre runner, when I imagine I'm probably better than I think I am. And and the way that anyone can think that, oh, I'm not really that good because compared to these other people, I'm not really anything. And I did the same as you. I finished earlier today in my lunch break and then I went on a run. And it really made me think about my process of what I do when I run. And obviously it's nowhere near as long distances that he does. But It really does make you think about what you're actually doing when you run.
Exactly. And I will just really quickly bring out the quote, which I think surmises this, which is the quote that made me sit up and listen or read with this book. And that is, I'm sure there are garden variety runners whose desire to beat a particular rival spurs them on to train harder. But what happens if their rival, for whatever reason, drops out of the competition? Their motivation for running would disappear or at least diminish, and it would be hard for them to remain runners for so long. And I think it was really interesting because it made me go to myself, God, yeah, what actually motivates me in life?
Okay, let's start with what motivates you to run? Maybe that's an easier one to start with.
Yeah, and I think that the book definitely made me question that. Why do I want to run? Why do I enjoy running? What is it that makes me want to keep doing it and not quit? And he talks about how doing the act, doing the same act over and over again gives you that kind of zen, non-thinking headspace. And I think that is another reason. That is probably why I run, to completely switch off and just focus on doing that one thing, almost being, having that meditative state.
Yeah. And I think that can come in even in short distances, especially when you're starting out, because it's such a break. That he starts off by saying that so this is written in 2005 to 2006. It's like the start of the iPod. So he talks about using an MD, and he only plays albums. And he says, oh, I want to find it, because it really stuck with me about how we've, as a generation of people, have really got into always being distracted and always taking things in. And there is an exhaustion to that kind of living of, oh God, there's something new on Netflix come out, or, oh, there's this new book that's come out that I need to read and all my friends are talking about it, or there's that new podcast that I need to listen to and I need to take everything so then I can be a part of society and take part and be able to be competent, and so that I can keep friends, and the mind just keeps spinning. And he has...
We're very much like generation now.
Yeah, completely, and generation constantly on. But he writes about saying... he says about how this is his time to kind of be by himself, whereas we're always listening. He says, which is why the hour or so I spend running, maintaining my own silent, private time, it's important for me to keep my mental well-being. When I'm running, I don't have to talk to anybody and don't have to listen to anyone. All I need to do is gaze at the scenery passing by. This is a part of my day that I can't do without. And I think I have rarely run without music. And when I have, it's only been for races when you're not allowed any music. And it completely changes the whole experience. And I imagine it's even more different when you're not listening to anything and you're not around anyone as well. It did make me want to try it, reading that, because, we don't switch off. And running is the perfect place to do that. And this book really reminded me that.
So I used to not run. I used to not listen to anything when I ran. And I couldn't do it. I would like enjoy it maybe for like the first kilometer, and then it would just be like, I've thought all the things I need to think, my brain can't go blank because I keep thinking how unfit I am. And to be fair, this is the very start of my running journey, so I feel like I wasn't comfortable enough. Just like I didn't have a good pace, I didn't know how to breathe properly.
That's okay, because it's the start of everyone's running.
Yeah,
wherever you are in life, that's how everyone starts.
But I'm pro music at the minute, especially with how cold it is. When you've got a bit of like drum and bass on and like absolutely freezing, and you're like, it's okay, I can get through this.
But despite all of that, I still do. Yeah, I think listening to something does help. I got into, when I was away, I used to run and listen to podcasts a lot. But actually recently, after listening to some people who messaged us on Twitter, I've actually started listening to audiobooks whilst I run, because it really helps me distract from running.
Yeah, no, you actually really appreciate how sometimes your music can help you switch off, and sometimes just hearing somebody kind of chat away to you helps you with that switching off and distracting you from it. So we're going to take a little break now, trying this out for the first time. Please let us know what you think of this kind of new way of presenting that we've tried out. And then after the break, we will be discussing how, as two people who run, Murakami's book did affect us.
If you'd like to focus on the latest novel whilst you run and get lost in a world outside of our own whilst your feet pound on the pavement, why not download BorrowBox? With your Essex Library card, you can sign up for free and get access to thousands of ebooks and e-audiobooks. Download the BorrowBox app now and discover more from your library at libraries.essex.gov.uk.
So I said before the break that Amy and I are two people who run. We have given you a little bit of background in the last little segment. I feel like it's a very broad term. And I don't know if anybody who saw me on a jog would describe me as a runner or a track star. But I like it. I feel good when I'm out. I find it really fun. When I was out yesterday, there was this like group of runners and they were obviously there to do a 10K and not have any fun. They were on mission, you know, like I just was like, that could not be me. I spend my time laughing and normally tripping over a lot of the time. So I'm definitely in like the fun run category. What camp would you lie in, Amy?
Murakami describes in his book that he sees a lot of the new Harvard students with their blonde ponytails and Harvard jumpers running past at a pace that's much faster than him, but usually probably only doing a mid run. And I would say, despite not having the long blonde ponytail and probably not being nearly as fast as them, I would fall into that category of the mid runner. It took me a very long time to get into running as an actual enjoyable thing. And I find some of the ways that Murakami talks about it quite overwhelming and like a bit unhealthy to read sometimes compared to how I now feel about running, which is something that I do to help my mental health and to calm down and to focus more. Whereas he sometimes talks about it and I'm like, whoa, you're obsessed.
Yeah, it's definitely an obsession for him. And you know, you think of the where he went to Athens to marathon, and you read about it, and I'm looking at it and thinking, wow, this is an amazing feat, and I could only dream of doing something like that. But there's also that kind of underlying feeling I got that was a bit like, this feels almost like you're pushing yourself to extremes. Is this fun for you? Like when he's did the ultra marathon and had the runner's blues and that burnout, and I was just thinking, does fitness or kind of any hobby really become fun when after you accomplish something you get really, really low? Be working to the peaks and troughs, which is I'm a peak and trougher, or should you kind of keep on that steady, you know, I'm enjoying this, I'm having a good time kind of vibe?
I think you have to get past that point of the thing that stuck with me was when he was talking, he interviewed one of the Olympic runners and he said, it's probably a stupid question, but do you ever find it hard to go out on a run? And the guy just kind of laughs and is like, every day I find it hard to go out for a run. Like, I run all the time and it's my job. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Like, you have to push yourself through that. And I think that takes such a dedication. And that was actually one of my favourite parts of the books, when he is analysing the similarities between the dedications and the practice of running for such long distances and writing. And obviously it starts with the talent, but the main things that he talks about is endurance and focus. And I think that's something that everyone needs to kind of take into their everyday lives, and something like running helps you focus on that, because mm-hmm. you have the time and the silence to kind of think about why you're doing it and how you're doing it.
Definitely, I agree. So we're going to hit one more break and then we're going to be discussing our favourite moment in the book and whether we would recommend it to somebody else.
Over the past 2 years, we've all taken a lot of time to reflect and learn about ourselves. But how well do you know your history? Who you came from? Come into our libraries and use our computers to make your family tree and delve into the past. With access to Find My Past and Ancestry, you can start growing the branches to your family tree. Why not go even further and find out if your ancestors made the news using free access to the British Newspaper Archive and the Times Digital Archive? Essex Library Services has access to all of these. Just come inside, book a computer, and learn more about your family history.
If you could choose your favourite line or segment from this book, what would it be and why?
I found a part that I think is lovely.
Yeah.
The way he writes it. Because I think he writes very differently to his books, his novels, but it's still very strong. Obviously, it's his voice, but a very strong Murakami voice. When he's talking about doing a race, I'll just read some of it. It's a kind of meditative, contemplative stretch. The scenery along the coast is beautiful, and the scent of the Sea of Okhotsk wafted over me. Evening had come on, we'd started early in the morning, and the air had a special clarity to it. I could smell the deep grass of the beginning of the summer. I saw a few foxes, too, gathered in a field. They looked at us runners curiously. Thick, meaningful clouds, like something out of a 19th century British landscape painting, covered the sky. There was no wind at all. Many of the other runners around me were just silently trudging toward the finish line. Being among them gave me a quiet sense of happiness. Breathe in, breathe out. My breath didn't seem ragged at all. The air calmly went inside me and then went out. My silent heart expanded and contracted over and over at a fixed rate. Like the bellows of a worker, my lungs faithfully brought oxygen into my body. I could sense all of these organs working and distinguish each and every sound they make. Everything was working just fine. And then later on he says, I'm me, and at the same time I'm not me. That's what it felt like. A very still, quiet feeling. The mind wasn't so important. Of course, as a novelist, I know that my mind is critical in doing my job. Take away the mind and I'll never write an original story again. Still, at this point, I didn't feel like my mind was important. The mind just wasn't a big deal. I just think it's so beautifully written, and you do kind of get into that tranquility when you get to a certain point in a run when you've done all your warming up and you're used to it and you're not tired yet. And it's just this feeling of like euphoria. And you can take everything in around you, and everything does just seem to have like this shade of sunlight bouncing off it. I think it's just, I think that's one of the reasons I run. When you hit that point, it's just incredible. And I love the way that he's written that.
Well, you can look around and you can actually enjoy being out and about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favourite part?
So my favourite section is when he talks about burning out. Firstly, I think the picture that he paints is absolutely brilliant. But also, I love how he describes that novel writing is an unhealthy type of work. A toxin that lies deep down in all humanity rises to the surface. All writers have to come face to face with this toxin and, aware of the danger involved, discover a way to deal with it, because otherwise no creative activity in the real sense can take place. Please excuse the strange analogy. With a fugu fish, the tastiest part is the portion near the poison. This might be something similar to what I'm getting at. No matter how you spin it, this isn't a healthy activity. And I like how at the start, he starts off the section by saying this, but then he goes into a couple of pages of, you know, saying, I run to keep my body healthy so that the toxins of being a creative don't take over, and I avoid that literary burnout that many young people deal with, you know. Needless to say, someday you're going to lose. Over time, the body inevitably deteriorates. Sooner or later, it's defeated and disappeared. When the body disintegrates, the spirit also most likely has gone too. I'm well aware of that. However, I'd like to postpone, for as long as I possibly can, the point where my vitality is defeated and surpassed by the toxin. That's my aim as a novelist. And besides, at this point, I don't have the leisure to be burned out, which is exactly why, even though people say he's no artist, I keep on running. I just think it's nice. I think that he toes the line between humble and those people that pretend they don't know.
He toes it a lot. And it is, you're bang on there. He just writes. I love the way he writes. He's got a lot of issues within his novels, but I love this, his style of writing. And it really does show through in this. And he talks a lot about that, of like, I don't really know why I wrote this. It's kind of a memoir, but I don't really know where it's going to end up. And I don't know what my kind of voice is outside of a novelist. And it's quite an exciting journey to go on with him, I think.
Completely agree.
Another part that really stood out to me was just about when he talks about going to like the lake, running by the water, and how it's just kind of helps everything settle into space. The surface of water changes from day to day, the colour, the shape of the waves, the speed of the current. Every season brings distinct changes to the plants and animals that surround the river. And it's just like just it's the taking in of nature, and just it puts you at one, I think. And that's what he's trying to say, is running puts you at one with the world around you and takes you out of the absolute hubbub of everything that is. And that's why it's so nice. And that's why it's so important to do it. I have a question for you, Freya.
Ooh, okay.
At the end, he kind of says what he would want on his tombstone. Someday, if I have a gravestone and I'm able to pick out what's carved on it, I'd like to say this. Haruki Murakami, 1949 to 20, whenever. Writer, brackets, and runner. At least he never walked. At this point, that's all I'd like to say. What do you think you would want on that last line? Because if I'm thinking of it in terms of my running kind of career, she says, I'd say I'd want to say something like she always listened to her body, because I think I've had a lot of troubles with overdoing it and running too hard and then not looking after my body and then not stretching and then getting injured and everything. Mm-hmm. And now I'm taking it a lot slower, which is why I'm running less regularly. But I know that I'm listening to what my body is saying, but still trying to push through it. And that's been such a journey for me, whereas his journey is very much, I'm going to finish this, I'm going to have breaks, but I'm not walking a step, and that's what's pushing me through. What do you think at the start of your kind of running journey would you want yours to say?
Mine would probably be, she never met a mountain she wouldn't try to climb.
Oh, I love that.
Just a really quick bit of backstory, I don't know if anybody cares. I'm going to say, I had done less than 20 runs in the last year, in 2021. And for my birthday, and never more than 5 kilometres. For my birthday, I set myself a challenge to run a 10K. And by hook or by crook, I did do it.
Yes, you did.
And so my goal for May is to run one in under an hour. So that's why I never met a mountain I didn't try and climb, because I will always give 100% to something, and my legs will have to fall off for me to be able to stop doing it.
I love that. I'd be interested if anyone, if you're listening to this, what your
one line to describe your attitude
or to exercise
or your performance.
Yeah.
Or hobby, if exercise is your thing. If there's something that you're learning this year, or I've been learning in the last couple of years, I'd love to know what one line you would use to sum it up.
What one line would you use to sum up this book, Freya? Would you recommend it?
Ooh. Haruki Murakami for the disillusioned runner.
Nice. That's that.
That's good, because I was like, and then he's actually made me, I feel like, let me elaborate on that rather than just making noise.
We understood.
Because I feel like I'm not the type of person who finds motivation very easily, and this made me question my why, which I think is a very important thing to apply to any aspect of your life. And I would always recommend something that makes you question your why.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's a lovely book. I think it can be difficult to read at times, in terms of memoirs are always quite, they can get a bit long, can't they? But it is short. I read it in a few days, and it is very, it does just take you back a step and make you reassess everything without the clouds in the way. There's another running book, which is the one that I read before this, that I'd also really recommend. It's very different. It's called Jog On by Bella Mackey. She talks about it from a very different perspective of having severe anxiety and how she started running, and that helped her kind of get control of her anxiety, because she started having anxiety where she couldn't leave the house, she couldn't do anything, and she would literally start trottling around the block and doing 20 minutes doing 1 kilometer. And I think that's another really, it's more factual, it's a lot more like researchy, because she's a journalist, but I'd also really recommend that, and we'll put that in the link if you want to check it out, and borrow it from the library, because I think it's very different. It's much less of a memoir, and more of a research piece, but that I think really helps, especially if you do suffer from anxiety, to read that. Yeah.
Definitely. Cool. So thank you, Amy, and thank you to everybody who has tuned in. either on podcasts, or I know that we're going to be putting some video clips out, please give us your feedback, because we really are trying to create something that you want to sit and listen to. If you want more anecdotal, if you want us to talk less about ourselves, which, you know, many people have told me in my times. but this has been Freya.
And Amy.
On The Only Way Is Reading. If you've enjoyed this and you would like more from us, then you can find previous episodes on most streaming platforms. Like I said, we're trying a new way of things, so this is the first of its kind, apart from our Black History Month takeover. If you've agreed or disagreed with anything we've said, then talk to us on social media at Essex Libraries on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram with the hashtag TOWIR, not to be confused with TOWIE.
If any of you have any suggestions for books or topics you'd like us to discuss, email us at libraries.social@essex.gov.uk with the subject, The Only Way Is Reading Suggestions.
So have a great day, and don't forget, all titles we talk about are available from any Essex library free of charge with your library card. Our next episode is our LGBT plus History Month takeover, where we will be discussing On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. Have a great day.